And they told the family, they said, we can do two things. We can just let him lay here and let nature take its course. You know, just let him die, bleed to death. Or so we can operate on him and see what if that'll help. But he'll probably die on the operating table. Well, he's down there talking today.
Amen.
That's how God is. Hey, God's not limited. You don't limit God and put him on a schedule, on your schedule, because it doesn't work that way. But Preacher Hyde asked me to teach over here about Samson. And so we'll go to the Bibles in chapter 11. And I can't have see. I put my contacts in and they're all blurry. I hate one of these days, thank God I ain't going to have to wear glasses to contact. Be able to see. Be able to have good eyes. But we read in here where old Samson is in the Hall of Faith and the Hall of Fame. And he's in here. And, you know, it's an amazing thing how someone, when you get to studying him and reading about his life and how his life was, I think, my goodness, why would the Lord want him in there? Why would God want Samson in here with all these great men of God and how they stood and, you know, done mighty things? But yeah, he did mighty things. When you get to reading and studying on him, he listened to God too. And it was his faith that is the reason God put him in here. And as we look at these different things in here about Samson, and I can't find which verse I'm in. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord God, for this day. I ask you, Lord, to bless and to service. Thank you, Lord God, for all that you've done. I pray that you'd help us, God. We might be what you have us to be. Blessing God, it might be a help to someone. And please, God, take it and use us for the glory of God. As we read here, where God took Barak and Gideon and all them, and he used them. And then it says in here that he took Samson and had Samson and used him. You take Samson as a man of God, he wasn't much. I mean, he was a chosen. God chose him.
Yes.
But, buddy, he was a rebel. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was a spoilt brat.
Yes.
I mean, when he was, his mom and daddy must not never whooped him or nothing. Because, I mean, he caused trouble all the time. And the thing gets me is he comes up and he tells his mom and dad what he wants. And they do it for him. And you know, that's the way it is in this day and time today. This here talking about Samson, I think it's pointing toward the day that we're living in this day right now. It's showing how kids today and how people today, how they do what they want to do. They don't do what God wants them to do. They don't listen to the prayers. They don't listen to God. And we see here that you take Samson, his eyes was on the world. His eyes was on his own flesh. His eyes wasn't on God. And God, it says when God come on him, you know, he would have the power of God and he would do the things of God, do what God had him to do. But here he's not, it tells you to start with over in Judges that he's not the ruler that he could have been, that he could have been a better ruler, a better judge. He could have had more power. But he didn't have it. Let's just turn over to Judges chapter 12. You have to bear with me. I've had a rough week. Of course, y'all have had a rough week. So I'm writing y'all's week's been better, worse than mine. But over in Judges, let's start in chapter 13. It says, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines 40 years. They was in the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. And you know, I think they got complacent. I think they liked it in the hands of the Philistines. Because they didn't really want to get out of the bondages they was in. And because why would you want to stay in there 40 years for? I mean, be somebody over you for 40 years, and when you could have got out. But see, there the judges, God gave the judges that He did to get them out of there, to take them out. And as we read here that in Samson, he was a judge that was had God's hand upon him. It says, "For the child," down in verse number 7, it says, "For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death." And a Nazarite was a chosen, they had different vows that they kept, and they didn't touch things like the dead, and they didn't touch wine or anything of the vine, any strong drink, and they didn't cut their hair. And the thing that was interesting to me that I saw in here that was interesting about Samson, you know, his mother here, man, they didn't even mention her name in here. It just says the wife of Manoah. They don't tell you who she is, just the wife of Manoah. I mean, I thought that was pretty bad. I mean, they couldn't even mention her name. But and another thing about it, she was barren. But then you go over in Samuel, his mother was barren, and then God touched her and brought life. And then you go to John the Baptist. John the Baptist's mother was barren, and God touched her. Now, it's just kind of interesting there that them three women was barren, and then God touched them, and they brought forth life. And that life was a light. You know, there was a light in this world. And if you take Samson's name, and from what I understand and looked at, Samson it means a son or like a little son. And but he wasn't no little son. I'm tell you what, you get to study on him and get to finding out things he done, how he was wicked, and he'd tell his mama and daddy, he'd say, "I want that woman." I mean, I can see me tell my mama. For my dad, "I want that woman to have my dad slap you upside, slide the head." I mean, it was like he had no rule in his life. Like, he just did what he wants. And that's why I would say this is like a type of the Laodicean church, how the people are today. They just see what they want and they go after it. It's all about the flesh. You know, you do what's good in the flesh. We'll go out here and you just run wild. I'm a thing down here, you know, when you come in, you got all that roped off. I tell you what, in Rowan County, it's gotten bad here lately. I mean, every way you turn, there's death and killings and stuff going on. And, you know, you used to just hear about it over in Charlotte, and now in Rowan County, it's just as bad as Charlotte. But over in, it's because people wanting to do the stuff of their flesh. But over in 2 Corinthians 6, and verse 17 and 18 says, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." He says, come out from among them. But see, Samson didn't want to come out from among them. He wanted to go down in there with them. Then you go over to Deuteronomy and it tells you, you know, not to marry of the other tribes, like the Philistines and stuff. You're supposed to marry with your tribe and stay with your tribe. But see, he didn't do that. He went out of it, out of his way to go down into where the Philistines was. Because he wanted one of those women. And he wanted to go down there. But see, that's when you get back to it though, that his whole thing was, that's what he come into the world for, was to bring judgment and to judge them. So it was all working in God's will, how God wanted things to happen. So he went down in there to the Philistines and took a woman by marriage, just so that was God's will for God him to do that, so he could bring judgment on them. And you know, people think that Samson, you see these movies where Samson's all big and muscular and everything. I don't believe that. He didn't have no exercise machines and weights. He worked out on stuff. It says when the power of God moved on him. I mean, he might be a little old skinny guy, and the power of God moved on him, and buddy, the strength of God and come upon him, and he become just. I mean, grabbed the doors off that gate, just pulled the gate, the doors off of him, and then took the even had the beams with it, and then carried them on his shoulders and went out. I mean, as a superhero, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He is like a Superman. But, you know, if you say that about him, damn Superman, but he had his kryptonite too. You know, old Superman get around that kryptonite, but he didn't take him down to his knees. Old Samson's kryptonite, that was women. He took him down.
Sure did.
Took him down. He get around a woman and then all he start lusting, and next thing you know, buddy, he's done lost it. And the thing is, and God used him. God, that goes to show me, brother. You do things in your life, God can use you no matter who you are.
Amen.
No matter what you've done, God can use you. All right, I suppose I was supposed to stood down there. I don't know. But I've seen people, you think, well, how's God going to use that person? Look at his life. Look at the things he's done in his life. But then God turns around, maybe in their death, and used their death. As we'll see on over in a little bit about Samson, where his death brought more glory than his life. And you take, that's the way it is today. You take people, they'll say, well, he ain't got no right to preach. He ain't got no right. His life, he didn't live like he's supposed to and do all, he don't have no life. That's not what, you get over there in Timothy and you look at Timothy and God calls a man to preach. God don't tell you all these stipulations. It tells you, people say, well, if Bible says if you desire the office of a bishop, well, I'm going to tell you right now, I didn't desire to be a preacher. No. God called me to be a preacher. And you read Paul, look how wicked Paul was, going about killing people. And then God knocked him off the horse and God called him. He said God called him. Called him to be a preacher. Called him to preach the Word of God. So you don't tell God who to use. I mean, you can't say here that, you can't say here that this man here, how could he be used of God? Our ways are not God's ways, and God's ways are not our ways. I mean, it's something else. When God called me to preach, I never thought I could stand up in front of people and preach and teach. Because I've always had the problem, I've always been scared of people and shy and what they call an introvert. And I was just afraid to get in front of people. I didn't like to get in front of people. Hey, I'd do anything to keep getting in front of people. In school, I'd be scared to death. I didn't want them to call me. Me and my wife got married, we'd go somewhere and I'd go to a store and I'm showing you how God works. I'd go to a store or something, I'd have to use the restroom. Well, I wouldn't go in there and ask them where it was because I was too shy. I'd get my wife to go ask her where it was. She was an extrovert. I mean, she likes to talk to anybody. It don't bother her. But you know, I'm a shy and backward. But that shows you there, when God called me to preach, I can't preach. I can't talk to people. But yet God made a difference in my life. Just like Samson here, God come upon him and God would use him. And because he said he called him and he used him for the glory of God. So you take old Samson, he was something else. He told him here, he told his mother when she was going to have him, she is in verse 14 of chapter 13, says, she may not eat or drink anything that cometh of the vine. Neither let her drink wine or strong drink, but eat any unclean thing, all that I command her, let her observe. So he told her, you don't eat the fruit of the vine. You don't drink of the fruit of the vine. You don't go around and touch dead carcasses and dead animals. And as we go on down, you could be here for hours on Samson. I found out stuff in Samson, boy, I'm telling you. I mean, I've read. I read the Bible through quite a bit. But when you read it, but when you really get down and just really read it and try to soak it in and start studying, Brother Danny, it's things, you see things in there. And in verse 24 it says, the woman bare a son and called his name Samson, and the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And see, God told him, don't put a razor on his head. God said, you don't put a razor on his head. Because that was one of the Nazarite vows. And most of the time, them vows now was just supposed to be like for 30 days. But see, it wasn't for Samson, it was for his whole life. He was a Nazarite for his whole life. And then as we go down in verse 14, we see that Samson, he went down to Timnath, and that's when he saw a woman down there, and he told his mom and daddy, he said, "Hey, I want her. He said, I like her." He wanted her. And that was his downfall. I mean, what if he had went somewhere and he'd seen a new Bible and he'd say, "Well, I like that new Bible," and he'd wanted that new Bible. That'd been something to help pick him up, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I get around Bibles and I get to looking at them. I got all kinds of Bibles. I like having Bibles. I mean, I like to read the Word of God. I like getting a new Bible. And man, it's just people say you're crazy, but you smell of it. I smell that thing. And then sometimes I kiss it and I hold it. That's my Word of God that I've got, that God give me. Samson had the Word of God. He was called of God, and he had that power when, if he would endure himself and stuck with God instead of going to the flesh, if he would have went more to the Lord instead of to the flesh, well, good, what kind of deliverer would he have been? He would have been a mighty deliverer. But he just succumbed to the flesh. And but he went down here to Timnah and he saw that woman. He said he wanted her. And then his daddy gets him for her. And as they're going in there, a lion comes out. He's with his mom and daddy. And we'll see that in verse chapter 14. I'm just kind of skimming through all this because there's a lot there. And this lion comes out and he grabs that lion and rips his mouth to pieces. The first thing come to my mind is, we as children of God, the Bible says the devil is as a lion. He's seeking. Turn over to 1 Peter. We just go there and read it. Because I'll quote it wrong. I get up here, I get nervous. Somebody took Peter out of my Bible. That's funny. You get up here, get to be nervous, and then you can't find nothing. 1 Peter chapter 5. I should have quoted it, but I messed it up. Chapter 5 and verse 8. Now you think about this. Here a lion come out now, and he ripped him to pieces. And in 1 Peter 5, it says, "Be ye sober and vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may devour." That's the way it is today. I mean, you go down through here somewhere and you're going out and you're going to be a witness for God. Next thing you know, the devil's coming out on you, trying to rip you to pieces. I mean, if you ain't got the Word of God in your heart, if you ain't got the Spirit of God on you, you won't be able to do like Samson did. You won't be able to take him and rip that lion to pieces. And the next thing you know, the devil's got you tore up and got you down. But see, if you hide the Word of God in your heart that you might not sin against Him, then you got the power of God on you and you can go forth and do the will of God.
Amen. Yes.
And old Samson now, we get in here more in a little bit, you'll see. Samson never, you don't see him praying nowhere but one time. He wasn't a praying man. If he was, it don't say he was. But I got to pray every day, all day long. I want to pray and keep myself to have the power of God when I need it. I mean, I want to have it, Brother Joe, when I'm going along and something pops up like my father-in-law down there on vacation and he's not going to make it. I don't want to have to get down and confess my sins and beg God to forgive me of this and forgive me of that. When I need Him, I want to be able to just grab a hold to the horns of the altar and walk into the throne room and be able to get a hold of God right then and there.
Yeah.
Man, I don't want to be down in sin and be like, Samson here. He's going along and he's laying in a woman's lap. I don't want none of that, man. I want to be on in the Word of God and have the power of God on me. Well, Chris, I want to be, that baby gets sick or something, buddy. You want to be able to just get a hold of God and cry out to God. You don't want to have to go waiting around. Man, that'd be bad. You got to confess your sins and all your faults and, you know, and ask God to forgive you and beg Him. And then you think, well, is He going to help? Hey, when my life was years ago, we had problems in our family and some problems with the kids and things happened. And there come a time one night when we needed God. And we cried out to God. And God reached out over through, I don't know, all the way down to Louisiana. And God grabbed a hold of one of my daughters and stopped her in her tracks. Where she was running away from home. And God stopped her right there. If God hadn't, she might have got killed. She might have died or something. But God moved. And because of prayer, because God knew that He needed to do something.
Amen.
And He did. And another time, one of my little grandsons was born. And he was in the hospital. And his lungs had the wrong fluid in it or something like that. And they weren't expecting him to live. And we got to praying and got people. Everybody we know, we called and got them praying. And through prayer, God went in there. And that doctor come back out and they wasn't expecting the baby to live. And the doctor said, I don't know what happened. He says, like, it's a miracle. It was a miracle.
Amen.
It was God reached down and touched him because of prayer. Samson, man, if he had been praying to God and seeking God, there's no telling what he could have done, how he could have brought a revenge or justice on those Philistines. But he just done a little stirring there. He didn't do a whole lot, but he did. He did accomplish what God wanted him to accomplish. And, you know, that's the problem with us today. Man, we don't have power of God like we ought to. I'm telling you what, I've preached before, and brother, you get to preaching, and it's like the power. You ever been preaching, brother? And you know, the power of God come on you, and man, you walk down the aisle, and you feel like you're just on top of the world. You know, you just feel like can't nobody touch you. And you might be praying yourself some words. I mean, in the power of God, and you just feel like, man, you're just on top of the world. Like you walked into the throne room of God. Hey, I've been with preachers before. I've won Ralph Sexton Jr. I've been with him before. And when he got to praying, I opened my eyes. Brother, I opened my eyes to see if God was sitting with us. I mean, that's how real it felt.
Yeah,
Samson didn't do that. Samson just waited around and waited on God just to come on him and then come off from him. Just think what he could have been, a judge that he could have been and helped Israel to get out of their bondage if he'd had the power of God and been able to went to God and God come on him right then and he would have done more than what he'd done. He took a jawbone of an ass and slew 1,000 men, went and stacked them up like cordwood. Just slew them with that. What would he have done if he would have really been right with God? That was when the power of God come on him. And then he caught those 300 foxes. Can you imagine that? You know, I hate to say it, but you know, I've seen people take cats and tie their tail together and throw them around clothes wire. And you know where he got that from? He got that from Samson. He tied those foxes together and put fire in between their tails and turned them loose and they run all down through the field and set all their fields on fire. Well, they got mad about that. They didn't like that. So they went up there and burned his wife. Burn her family. But you know what? Old Samson, he got revenge on them for doing all that stuff. But people today, you know, they think, well, God don't do that. They think, God, yeah, we don't serve a God like it. Well, they better read their Bible. They better read their Bible. God's a God of wrath. He's also a God of love, but He's a God of wrath. And God just soon why. I tell you what, if this nation don't turn to God, Bible says all nations that forget God turned into hell. This nation here is going to be wiped out if it doesn't turn back to God. Because look at it, they're worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. This nation, people, you got homosexuality, you got sodomites. They just everywhere you go, they're proud of it. Hey. You better get right with God, what you better do. You better be right with God, have your heart right with Him. Know that you're saved and born again. Know that you're going to heaven. Because I'm going to tell you what, I think we're looking on some bad times coming. I mean, I have never seen in my life, I've been saved 37 years. And when I got saved, it's totally different then. I've seen things happen. I've seen so many things come true and come to fact right now. But it's amazing. And this so-called president that they got in there, God help him. That's all I can say. God help him. If you voted for him, God help you. I didn't vote for him. I tell you that right now. You say you're doing politics. I don't call it what you want. Hey. Hey, they say, well, he's trying to take your guns. No, he don't want your guns. He done got your bullets. You can't get no bullets. Go try to buy some. You can't hardly get bullets. Why does he want your guns for? He just take all your bullets. You ain't got no bullets. You can't shoot a gun. And I've heard all these years, you say, well, I'll just get off on this. Samson used his strength and power. You better have the power of God in your life that you have something. Because like I say, your guns and all that ain't going to help you. Hey, when you're hiding somewhere and you're scared to death and you don't know what to do, you better know when you cry out that you can get a hold of God. But when you need Him, He's there. There ain't no feeling like when you need Him and that still small voice comes down and speaks to your heart. When He comes down in a time of need and times you're hurting and you can't hardly stand it no more, and that small voice puts, He says, I love you, son. Yes. I love you. I died for you. I'm going to tell you, God is real. And He took and I'm trying to teach. I'm trying to stay still and I'm trying to teach. But I tell you, I like to preach. But God, He loves you so much, and He loved old Samson so much, and He took and called him, Samson, called him from his mother's womb, and He took and going to use him for the glory of God. And Samson rebelled, and he went down to all these women, and he went down and done the things he shouldn't have done. He went down under that lion and that he killed, and it had honey in him, and he wasn't supposed to do that. He touched that dead carcass, got the honey out of it, and he went, and then what did he do? He went and gave it to his mom and daddy. I mean, he made them see and do. Your kids and these kids today, I'm not saying your kid, but kids today, that's how they are. They'll sin. I got a nephew, he just overdosed. He's been in the hospital. They didn't know if he's going to live or die. He's done that like 10 times. The boy says he's saved, but I don't hope he is. I don't know. I tried to talk to him. He said, yeah, I got saved. No. I'm going to tell you what, I got saved 37 years ago, and hey, I was wicked as hell, and God cleaned me up when I got saved. God gave me another walk when I got saved. I don't walk the same way I walked back then. I don't do what I do back then. My life changed. My life changed so much, my wife, she thought she was living in a preacher's home, and she thought she was saved, and she realized she wasn't saved because my life changed so much. That's what God does for you. God makes a difference. The Lord Jesus Christ, He died on that cross for all men. There's no big eyes or little U's. But then we get back in here, and Samson, he goes down to Gaza, and what does he do? He finds a harlot down there, and he goes with her, and then he leaves there, and then he goes over here and goes down to finds Delilah. He gets with Delilah. And then, you know, he don't have a lick of sense. I mean, these women, all these women he got, they lie to him and they tell him the Philistines are coming, and does he listen? He jumps up and he makes a big show and he goes, wipes all these people out and comes back and lays down. She starts whining again and then he gets all upset and tries to do something else. I'm thinking, man, straighten up. The woman, are you crazy? You just let her and she tells you stuff and you listen to her? I mean, you get burnt once, don't go stick your hand back in the fire. It don't make sense to me. It's like he was mentally challenged. It's like he was mentally challenged is what it was. Yeah, I mean, ain't that something? You take people today. Gosh, I'm stupid, but I ain't that stupid. I mean, hey, Bro Roberts worked with them bees. And he goes down there and gets stung and all this. I said, buddy, I said, ain't no way. I get stung one time, I'm gone. Hey, I know what a bottle of gas is for. Now, you run over a yellow jacket's nest, you take a bottle of gas and you throw it in that yellow jacket's nest, it kills all of them. I'm not going to get stung no more. I'm not going to run. Keep Brother Roberts, he goes down and gets that honey out because he likes honey. That's him. I don't like honey. He have all that he wants. If it takes all that thing, and old Samson, he liked that honey till he got one down there and got it and went against God and doing it. He wasn't supposed to touch no carcass. And then he goes down there to Delilah and he lays his head down in the devil's lap. And you know what happens? She scalps him. You put your head in the devil's lap and you get scalped. I mean, you think about that. Why do I want to lay my head in somebody's lap is going to scalp me? I ain't got nothing to scalp to start with. I'd be in a mess. But he said he had locks of his hair. You know, he had real pretty hair probably and all this. Not like on TV, the big Clark Gable or something or Arnold Schwarzenegger. Your long hair or something. Lay down. I believe he's just a normal guy. And he laid down his head in her lap. And then she starts afflicting him, and then she starts crying. Said, "Well, you didn't tell me the truth." She tells him one thing. He tells her one thing. Well, don't put new ropes on me. And they put ropes on him, and he jumps up and breaks them. And then he runs all the Philistines and kills them and everything. And old Delilah, she starts whining and crying. I like the first thing up there when the first time that happens to him with that other woman. And he said, about the riddle, when he gave him the riddle. And he said, "If you hadn't been plowing with my heifer," I like that part. "If you hadn't been plowing with my heifer, you wouldn't have found out this stuff." I tell you what, there's some funny stuff in the Bible. There was one place, that one person, I forget exactly who it was, he said, "You old dog's head," stuff like that, called names. And God's got a sense of humor. But God also has got that, buddy. He can sure put some raft on you. But anyway, he went down a slippery slope, old Samson did. And his Lord, that went by fast. Now, y'all say that every time, but man, it went. Mine's getting started. I could have went for another hour. But we go ahead. But old Delilah, she gets in there. And he spills his guts out. She whines and cries and everything. And you know, you read over the Bible and it says it's better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than be with a contentious woman. Yeah, hey, bro, sure. Now, I'm telling you, I'm not picking on you women, but it says that in like four or five different places. I don't never see where it says that about a man. I just don't see that. And I'm not trying to make enemies now. I'm just telling you. But you know, then he gets in there and he cries out. He jumps up. You know, that last time she brings him in, he spills his guts to her, tells her everything. And God told him now, you can't, you're supposed to cut your hair. That was his right. So he gets in there and he lays down. She calls him in. I'm going to tell you one thing. You can't touch me without me waking up.
Yeah.
You tell me you're going to cut my hair. I ain't got much to cut. But you ain't going to cut my hair. He must have been in a deep sleep. That's what's wrong with this world today. We're laying in the devil's hands in a deep sleep and we've forgotten God. This country's going to hell because they're sleeping in the devil's lap and they're laying there just sleeping away and all this stuff is coming in. The devil's bringing all this stuff in and this nation's had it. God's going to judge this nation. But God used him. And then old Samson, he gets up there and they come in after they cut his hair off and they take him out and they stick his eyes out. Well, he's blind now. He could see, but now he's blind. I once was blind, but now I can see. You know, one time I couldn't see the things of God. Oh, Samson had to get blinded before he could see God. They blind, got him blind, put him on the grinding mill. He's up there grinding. And then what happens? He starts to praying then. Hey, he didn't pray before that. You read it. He didn't pray before that, but he got on that grinding wheel and he started asking God to give him revenge for his eyes. And his hair started growing a little bit and he started getting stronger. And the Philistines didn't notice that his hair was growing. They didn't think about that. And his hair started growing. And so God, he asked God to give him, let him get revenge because of his eyes. So he gets up between the pillars up there, has a little boy help him, and he gets a hold of the pillars. There's like 3,000 people down there. And he gets up and grabs a hold of those pillars, and the power of God comes on him. And he grabs a hold of them, and he pushes that whole place in and kills all them people. Because, you know, that comes back to me. That one preacher said, they won't remember how you started, but they'll remember how you end. Now, they will remember how you end. I remember Samson because what the Bible says. Everybody knows about Samson. Little kids are taught about Samson. Samson, he was a great man, great prophet, but they don't read all the bad stuff he done. They don't read how wicked he was. When they tell a little story to their kids or I've read these Bible stories, they don't read all them bad things he done. Samson, I mean, he was wicked. He was a rebel. But he did the will of God. So that I'm telling you not now. You might have not done all your life what you should have done. But now that you've gotten saved or now that you've been saved, you do the will of God. You might be a great preacher. God might use you and to turn this world back to God. You don't know what your potentials are if you give your life to God and give your all to Him. The problem is we don't give our all to Him. When Samson was up there on that top of that building, he was holding them things. He gave his all to God. And he listened and done what God said. He gave his all and took his own life. He died with the enemy. Tell you what, I'm not going to die with the enemy. August 15th, 1976, 25 minutes to 9. Buddy, I got my life to Jesus Christ. I'm not going to die with the enemy. I'm not going to die down here in this life. I'm not going to be down here and lay around with all these wicked, vile people. When my home's in heaven. I'm already seated, Brother Roberts, in the heavenly home. My eyes are up there. I got my eyes on a prize, buddy. I'm going for the Lord Jesus Christ because the blood's been applied. I've been washed by the blood of the Lamb, and I'm heading that way. There's no stopping me. I might fall in the mud hole. I'm like a ball, a basketball. You take a ball and you put it underwater. But you let go, it comes up. You take a Christian, he gets down, he's going to come up. Brother Redmond, you'll come up, buddy. I'm telling you, just stick in a God, I'll bring you up and you'll see something out of this. God will do something.
Yeah. Amen.
I'm going to get up one day. I'm going to get out of this place. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I thank God I'm saved. I thank God for the blood. Hey, I get excited, bro, when you talk about the blood. You want to get me excited when you start singing about the blood? I love the blood, Brother Roberts.
Amen.
I love it because that's what washed away my sins.
Yes.
Oh, Samson, he listened to God. And God saw, knowed his potential. But his potential could have been greater had he listened to God and not listened to his flesh. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. And God, I tried to teach the best I could. God, I pray it's a blessing somehow, some way. And God, I pray, God, that you'd help us, Lord. Maybe there's a Samson here today, Lord, that Lord Jesus God, he might would just give over to Thee. Help us to give our all to Thee and give You everything. And God, we might walk with You. In His last and dying days, God, we might be a testimony. We might be able to tell people about Jesus Christ. And quit being scared and shine. And God, step out and be a Samson with the power of God on us. And show this world that there is a God. God, I've seen You do many miracles. Lord, thank You for what You've done Friday, Lord. And for touching my father-in-law. Thank You, God. Thank You for everything. Bless this church. Bless the preaching iron. Give Brother Joel the message. God, give him, let him preach like a man preaching to a dying world, which he is. Help him now in Jesus' name. Amen.